It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Most of us are spending a lot more time at home these days, and many people have been motivated to dig into a thorough spring cleaning. Still, others have found that the familiarity of home is breeding contempt, or at least discontent with some past decorating choices. This hour, we will talk about room makeovers and wall treatments. We'll also be taking your questions about other home improvement projects. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is on the line with us from Fort Dodge. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And you've been social distancing way up in the middle of the woods in Minnesota. So thanks for being on the show and returning to a somewhat of a civilization for us.
Yeah, it was nice and peaceful up there. Yeah, I was able to stay away from everybody, so it was pretty nice to do that. I'm used to that, though. People don't like being around me, so it's nice to be in up there and being away, have an excuse.
Excellent. Well, and I'm sure you're going to do a good job staying away from people back in Iowa as well.
Yes, I am.
Interior decorator Lisa Fender is also here with us today. She is with Evolve Home Design in Iowa City. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Charity. Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And you are doing your social distancing at home with three sons, two dogs, and a husband. So you've got a full house, not the kind of solitude Bill's been enjoying.
No, but I do find some peace and quiet in my office. Nobody bothers me there.
And everybody sleeps late, too, so you can get up before everybody else.
Yeah. Nice. Several hours, yeah.
All right. Now, both of you, I know you both well, and I know you both have very different aesthetics. So I'm pleased about this because I feel like we're going to have our room makeover bases well covered. But before we get into talking about those aesthetics, Bill, when we're looking around the house and we're thinking, I really want to paint that wall, I want to tear down that wallpaper, I want to make some changes, are there some home repair basics that we need to keep in mind before we start?
Yeah, I'm glad you had me in that part because I'm really well known for my decorating styles, I'll tell you that. So usually what, you know, we want to look at if you are, let's just pick a kitchen, for instance. You know, this is your chance to upgrade it. You know, if you're just doing, say, painting or wallpapering, this may be the chance to upgrade with electrical because you may be able to just throw in more ground fault circuit interrupted GFCI receptacles around the kitchen. You know, maybe do some planning that way, you know. But if you have like older walls like plaster, you may want to think about, am I going to keep the plaster walls, you know, patch the cracks, you know, to keep the old the style or the patina in that room, or do we really want to refresh it and possibly remove the existing plaster, make sure there's insulation in the walls, you know, check the wiring. There's just so many things to think about because if, you know, this may be your chance to, if nothing else, do your in the planning stage for, you know, when all this is kind of passed and more people can, you know, mix, is to really just do your planning right now and get all your ideas, all your ducks in a row so that when, you know, we can go ahead and kind of get back to that new normal, we'll go ahead and be able to get somebody scheduled and you won't be having to make those decisions. I think that's one thing that we really spend our time on now is the planning stage and getting your ideas and consulting with, you know, someone like Lisa, what should I do? Because you can do this back and forth, you know, either texting or computer images and that.
Okay, so some of these bigger projects, you might actually think, even though I'm eager to get it done now, I should put this off until I can get contractors in the house if this is bigger. So try to be realistic. Let's say you're just taking on a painting project, you've got some cracks in the wall. How do you know if it's more serious than something you should just put a little bit of a spackle on?
Well, you know, if there's some large cracks, let's say you have an older home and it's plastered, you want to keep that look. There's a product and I love it because it's got a cool name, but it's called Big Wally's Plaster Magic Repair Kit. And you think, okay, this is just something some guy came up with as a funny marketing scheme, but it's actually it's a really nice system. It's only like $30 or so. But it shows you exactly how to handle some, you know, small to even some major plaster cracks and how to repair the wall if you do want to try it and repair it. So if you do some research like on that product, it'll kind of give you some idea of are these cracks, is it something structural? You know, if they're large cracks, usually they aren't. But if they are large, should I maybe think about maybe just recovering the wall with drywall? Older homes, usually our problem is on the ceiling more than anything, you know, with the old plaster wanting to sag. And you know, that if you're looking at the walls, start looking at that, because the last thing you want to do is go ahead and upgrade the walls, make the kitchen look real nice, and then all of a sudden you realize you didn't look up at how maybe durable that ceiling is.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So again, things that if you've got a real problem, you might want to put things off. But okay, let's say the wall looks okay. You can fix it up with some spackle. Lisa, I know that you feel like when you want to make a change, when you want to refresh a room, that painting is really the most powerful way to change the look of a room. From your perspective, what makes it so effective?
Well, I think that it's because it can happen so fast. If everything is in place and the wall is intact and you don't have to do a whole lot of repairs, painting it gives you the most satisfaction as quickly as possible. And it gives you a feeling of accomplishing something, and it can change the whole look of a room, sometimes in just a matter of hours. So I think that is a huge part, because it is a good time right now, because we have so much time to sit around to do the planning stages. But for some people, and I'm guilty of this as well, we kind of want that immediate satisfaction of something being different. And I think that's why painting can be the most effective that way.
All right. Immediate gratification. That's very therapeutic right now. So let's say you've never painted a wall before, or it's just not something you've done very much. If you're inexperienced, how should you start?
So I would start with making sure that your wall, you prep it correctly. Depending on where you are, if it's in the kitchen, there could be some grease spots on the wall, and you want to clean it with just some mild soap and water, things like that. Still, any like nail holes that that you might have left from a previous picture hanging or something like that. Those are pretty easy things to do. And then if there's a bigger spot, you definitely want to make sure that you add some texture. If your wall is already textured in different places, and all you do is spackle over it, you're going to see that that different texture on the wall, and it's not going to look like the rest of it. So you want to make sure to texture it right. And they sell those products that you can spray on the wall and then paint over. You want to make sure you have all the right supplies. Some walls that are not textured are just smooth, and so they require a different roller head. So some of it's called the nap. So sometimes you're going to need like a really thin nap if it's a smooth wall. If it's highly textured, you're going to need a thicker nap. So things like that.
When you're taking on a project and maybe you're not the most experienced painter, do you suggest starting with something small rather than maybe taking on the living room as your starting place?
Yes, I would say pick a wall such as maybe your entryway wall, which is typically a smaller area, and make it so that it choose one that doesn't have a lot of different angles to work around, or doorways, lots of windows, things like that, places where you're going to have to cut in with a paintbrush. And the trimming part is usually the most time intensive anyway. And so if you're not as experienced, it's just a little bit easier if you start with a very squared off section of wall.
All right. Something
that has easy borders, basically.
All right. A no-fail opportunity. Now, let's talk about choosing a color. Bill has admitted to his Pinterest addiction. And in the early 2000s, I was addicted to those home improvement shows like Trading Spaces or Changing Rooms on the BBC. That led to some really bad paint choices for me in the first home that I owned. So Lisa, give us some advice, some common sense advice. How do you pick colors that are actually going to look good?
Okay, well, color is a lot of personal choice, but I would say that when you're choosing a color, you want to think about the light that comes into the room. Is there a lot of natural light? Is there artificial light? Sometimes when you choose a room that doesn't have any natural light coming in and it maybe has just one ceiling fixture, the darker the paint that you choose, the really darker the closed in that that room is going to feel. And maybe that's what you want, but you just need to be aware of that. And also, if you do choose a dark, dark color, I would say balance that out with the other elements in the room. You want to have neutral flooring, neutral furniture pieces, things like that, if that's what you want. But I would say if you're afraid of it being too dark, usually when you choose paint at the paint store, it comes in you can look at the strip. And if you're afraid that it's going to be too dark, choose one shade lighter, just up one or two from what you're thinking about doing.
All right. And we have about 1 minute before we get to the break. So in three words or less, Lisa, how do you feel about wallpaper?
I love wallpaper.
You love wallpaper. I think that's a controversial opinion. Bill, how do you feel about wallpaper?
Oh, you know, is the time up yet? Is that, how close are we to that minute?
All right, we'll talk about it.
The only reason, I just like being able to go back and change my mind, I guess, a lot. I'm not a wallpaper expert by any means. So. My opinion means absolutely nothing in this one.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk more about room makeovers and home improvement projects. With me today, Lisa Fender, interior decorator with Evolve Home Design in Iowa City. Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert, is also with us today on the line from Fort Dodge. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today. Interior decorator Lisa Fender of Evolve Home Design in Iowa City is also with us today. We're talking about room makeovers. A lot of people who are spending a lot of time at home find themselves really wanting to paint a wall or make some changes in their home. So we've been giving some advice about that. We had a call from Patricia in Waverly, who's very concerned about encouraging people to get out and shop at a time like this. And we are not encouraging you to take undue risks. Many hardware stores and home improvement centers are allowing you to order online, do curbside pickup, but please, most importantly, be safe and be courteous and considerate of other shoppers who have other needs and people who work in these stores as well. Of course, we're having some fun this hour and hopefully taking our minds off the situation that we're in for a little while, but we do need to be safe and responsible if we're pursuing a little bit of a home improvement project as well. So, Patricia, thank you so much for bringing that up. If you have a question for Bill or Lisa, give us a call, 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We already have a unique home design suggestion. This is from Stephanie in Cedar Rapids. She says, in case any listeners have an abundance of yarn, we found a great way to store it. Purchase some steel pegboard panels, hang them in a large rectangular pattern on your wall, then put the yarn into cakes and store it using the long pegboard hooks. The solution is threefold. It stores the yarn, keeps it readily available to the knitter, and makes for an attractive feature wall. And yes, we do have cats, and surprisingly have had very few problems with them attacking and dislodging the yarn cakes. I love that. That is a great suggestion. And of course, that's one of the beauties of home design is that you get to make it work for you. I want to talk just a couple minutes about wallpaper before we move on to taking calls. So Lisa, you love wallpaper. What right now are you most excited about with wall coverings?
I do love wallpaper. The thing that I like the most is the different array and the large array of different materials and patterns that have come out. I mean, it's very different now than it was 40 or 50 years ago. And although I've seen so many in older homes that I just really adore and appreciate for the time that they were put up. But I do like all the different designs that have surfaced now, and I like that wallpaper has made a comeback.
Yeah, there are so many different options now. One of the wall coverings that I know you're particularly fond of is called grass cloth. Tell me a little bit about that.
I do. I do really love grass cloth. It has a very natural feel. It feels very warm, and it can be dyed in all the different colors of the rainbow, which is great. The one downside is that it isn't very friendly for, you know, high traffic areas necessarily. I would definitely think about it if that's something that you wanted to do, making it the top two thirds of a wall and painting the bottom third, something like that. But it's very beautiful, and it gives very like grounding feature of a wall.
All right. So if the kids are going to be tossing bags against the wall, things like that, or dogs running around, you don't want it probably near the floor. Bill, I know
that sounds like a good. That sounds like a good material cats can climb up.
Right.
Though.
Right.
That would be great.
No, in our house, that would be fantastic. I'm sure. So, Bill, you are a big fan of reclaimed materials, and you do a lot of really creative stuff with old barn wood and things like that. So at a time like this, it may be time to go out to the barn or the shed and see what you have, right?
Yeah, you know, it is a good time to do that. The weather's, you know, now is just about perfect because you can dig out the wood, you can use the natural light, you know, to see what that wood's going to look like, but you have to, you know, clean it and you know, kind of sanitize it sometimes. You want to really do your research if you're going to bring it, you know, inside the house, especially if it's, well, let's say what kind of barn it's been in. You know, if it's an old hay barn, maybe, you know, all you really do is a lot of surface cleaning, very light surface cleaning, you know, using a pressure washer from a distance or real light or light pressure when you do it. Mixing it with soap and hand scrubbing so you don't, you know, take away all the character of the wood. But in some cases, you know, the wood will have that odor, whatever it had in the barn, and seems like no amount of cleaning ever really gets that smell out. And when it's brought into a house, sometimes you may get a whiff of, you know, say something from the cow, or not when we're usually talking to ourselves on the phone, Charity. I won't describe in that detail, but you've got to have, you know, have some idea of there may be a carryover. So you, when you take that wood, you give it a light bleach solution to maybe take off any things that you don't want to bring in the house and hand scrub it with a hand brush. And maybe some mild soap and water and let it air dry, you know, very well before you bring it in. But, you know, this is the time to do those kind of things. It gives you something else to think about, you know. And the trouble that I have is I find a really good piece of wood and I get it all cleaned up and then I don't want to use it because I don't want to cut it. And so it's still down in the barn. So I can't gain anything out of that. So.
Well, and I think you have a cautionary tale about ants that you'd like to share, Bill?
Yes. Yeah, I did my first chance at using repurpose. I was in college in northern Wisconsin at an environmental studies school. And we went out and scored some really cool old barn board out in the woods, brought it back to our dorm room and put it lined the whole inside the dorm room when I went back home for Christmas break, came back and all of our wood was gone and asked what was going on. And Mr. Elchi, I can't believe I remember his name. He was the janitor for the building. He said, well, we came down the hallway and from your room across the floor and coming up the wall and going into the water, fountain was ants. He said they had just a little caravan going all the way and they were climbing up, getting into the water fountain to get to the sugar from all the pop the kids, you know, poured in there when they were finished. So he stole all of my really cool barn board that to show you how stupid I was, the boards were 12 foot long, and I had a Camaro, which was a small car, and I ran them across the car because the truck was too small. So it looked like wings. So you kind of think about, you know, how dumb that was going down the road with, you know, boards sticking out the windows sideways. So that shows how smart I am there, too. So,
well, there you go. It was a long time ago.
You wanted the full story.
You've grown.
Yeah.
You've learned.
I'm not any smarter. No, I'm not any smarter. I just do it by myself so nobody sees it.
All right. We are going to get to some questions now. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert, and Lisa Fender, an interior decorator from Iowa City. Cheryl's on the line in Pilot Mound. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. Good morning. I have a question for Lisa Fender. I noticed before the break that she said she loved wallpaper, and I do think there are places for wallpaper in a home, and in fact, I'd like to replace some that I have. However, it seems like between the time that I did this originally and now, I can't find anybody who applies wallpaper. You know, there's a very few stores that will have some books, but they don't really seem to have a lot of people they recommend in the area that does it anymore, and I just am stalled at trying to do anything more. Are there any ways that you'd suggest I go about trying to find out who might be within a reasonable distance and be willing to do it?
Well, Bill is not too far from you in Pilot Mound, Cheryl, so Bill could drive over and take a walk.
I know, but that's why my question went to Lisa.
Right.
Okay. Oh, man. Ooh, ouch. You know, oh, this really hurts. I know it's April Fool's Day, but be gentle.
Jeez. I heard what you said before the break, so.
Let's talk about moisture and insulation. Let's move on.
All right. Okay. Let's let Lisa answer the question. Cheryl, thank you so much for calling. Lisa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, hi, Cheryl. Thank you for your question. I also have found it a little bit difficult to find people that are willing to do that kind of work. I do have somebody that I use on a regular basis that's from the southeast part of Iowa, but I think that if you go to your specialty paint store and they have the wallpaper books, a lot of times they do have cards, business cards of contractors and painters and others that do wall treatments, that you could give them a call. I think word of mouth is probably the best way to find somebody. You can look on Angie's List online, but sometimes just knowing someone who knows someone is the way to go, because, you know, having a reference point is the way that I found best.
All right. Well, Cheryl, good luck with that. And Lisa, wallpaper, putting it up yourself is doable. It can be challenging. We already talked about Bill's addiction to Pinterest, but there are a lot of really good online tutorials. Is that something you might recommend?
It is if you feel confident in your DIY skills. There are also things about wallpaper that you have to have certain tools, things like that, to in order to cut, measure, and be able to paste it correctly. They also have come out with a lot of different peel and stick versions of wallpaper, which I don't necessarily recommend if you're doing a full room or anywhere in a room that has moisture, like a bathroom. But if it's for something such as, like, I have put wallpaper, the peel and stick, behind the backs of my cabinets, or in an accent wall in someone else's home, that might work. That would be the only DIY that I would attempt to do, just because I'm not very experienced at all with actually applying the wallpaper. I think that piecing it together and making sure the pattern is correct is probably the hardest part.
All right. Well, I think maybe we identified a future trend and an entrepreneurial opportunity, maybe for some Iowans who are stuck at home right now. Improve your wallpapering skills, and Cheryl would like to hire you and some other people as well. All right. 866.
You know, if you want, I'm sorry. If you want it to be Iowa rustic, just staple it. Staple that wallpaper up. It'll really be a good look. I think that's going to catch on. That'd be my way.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. I would not try that, though. I wish I could help more.
All right.
Oh, man. I tell ya.
Let's go back to the phones. Gary's on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
Hey, we're doing a 10-year aging-in-place remodel.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been working on we had a lot of cracks in the ceilings. And had a really good plasterer come in, professional guy. He's working on the Brooklyn Opera House for his real job. And he did just a beautiful job with the plaster. There's so many cracks that he's covered the whole ceiling in the living room. And I did one room myself, and it was a lot of work. And the living room looks really good. I'm just wondering if there's any reason to not just leave it with the plaster.
Oh, so do you need to paint the plaster if you've just had it replastered? Bill, what do you think?
No, not really. But sometimes you want to put something, make sure that's very vapor permeable is what you want to do on the plaster, because that's why plaster lasts so long. It's able to breathe and let vapor go back and forth. And, you know, you could just put a sealer on it, but a vapor permeable sealer, just so you maybe clean it a little bit easier, because raw plaster is pretty hard to keep clean, and it does tend to pick up dust. And depends on how much moisture is in the home, and then how much maybe particulates are in the air that might start to soil that plaster. In really old buildings, sometimes you can see that darkness on there.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
for your
just
call.
Make sure it's vapor. I'm sorry. Just make sure it's vapor permeable.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phones. This one is not about redecorating. Steve is on the line in Cedar Falls. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. I was recommended to give Bill a call by a contractor here in Waterloo, a fellow named Bob. He passed along some great stories also. time his son tipped over your brand new skid loader in class was one of
man.
Them.
Oh, man. Okay, all right. I was going to say thanks for calling, but now I'm nervous.
Well, I got several thanks. My question is, I've got a fully mature magnolia tree about 8 feet beside my house. The trunk's about 14, 16 inches in diameter, so it's fully grown. I love the tree, but I'm concerned that maybe the roots are going to start pushing on the basement wall.
What kind of foundation is it? Is it poured, or is it concrete block?
It's concrete block. And actually, Bob did some work down there, and he said it's in great shape. There are really no cracks in the mortar between the blocks. So I'm just curious if that's a concern, or just I'm guessing the tree was planted, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years ago. So it's been here a while.
I really wouldn't worry about it. What I would do is just, every so often just go down in the basement and visually check the foundation wall. Most of the time those roots don't really heave against the block. What they'll sometimes do is try to find an opening and grow into them and then kind of decay the surface from the outside. But I really wouldn't worry about it too much. Just go down in the basement. If you do see some cracks, some minor cracks, just take, these feeler gauges we used to use for spark plugs. And then, they get down to the thousandths of an inch, and just keep, just kind of measure the cracks, if you have any, to see if they're getting any larger. And if they're getting any larger and that's where the tree is, then, maybe remove it.
Okay. All right.
But I'd leave it for now if the wall's looking good. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't keep those stories to himself.
For you.
All right, thanks.
And, yeah.
All right, Steve, thank you so much for your call. We're going to take another short break. Bill's going to think about more personal embarrassing stories that he can share with us, right?
Yeah.
Bill, you promised to focus.
Day.
Yeah. All right, Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert, is here with us today. Lisa Fender, interior decorator with Evolve Home Design in Iowa City, is also here to answer your questions. You are welcome to join the conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today. On the line from Fort Dodge, interior decorator Lisa Fender of Evolve Home Design in Iowa City is also with us today. We've been talking about how to refresh our rooms during this time when so many of us are stuck at home. And again, a reminder that if you are going to try to acquire some products to help you redo one of your rooms, be smart, safe, and respectful of those who are still working while so many of us are sheltering at home. You can join the conversation with your questions about refreshing your rooms or any home improvement project. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And here's a question from James. He says, I have some wallpaper in my hallway. Unfortunately, it was stained some years ago and needs to come off. Some of the areas of wallpaper are tight against woodwork. How can I safely remove it? Lisa, do you want to try that one first?
Sure. I think that the best way is if you're going to try to do it yourself, they do have a special remover that you can purchase at a home improvement store. Also, if you have a steamer or even an iron that produces enough steam, what you want to do is try to make that adhesive, the back of it, come loose, and try to peel it as in as much of big areas as possible without too many pieces. Otherwise, you're going to have like taking a sticker off of something that you buy at the store, piece by piece. You want to try to get as big of chunks as possible off. But the steam, I think, is probably the best way if you're going to start, and then use maybe one of those, like a butter knife or something to kind of pull it back at the same time.
And I think I remember removing wallpaper several years ago where there was something that I could buy to poke holes in the wallpaper. It didn't hurt the wall, but it poked holes in the wallpaper to help me get that steam behind it. Is that something you've used, Lisa?
That's not something that I've personally used, but yes, I've seen that technique before.
All right, so steam it. Get it sticky and damp.
Yes.
All right. Charles is on the line. He wants to add something to this wallpaper conversation. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Hi, what's your comment?
Well, my initial comment is that if you want to get divorced, try wallpapering a bathroom together.
Okay. All right. So there's okay.
Some... I like this guy.
And it's going to come out. It's going to come out bad. You know, my mother came and tore the wallpaper off the wall, and we were thankful because we just didn't have the heart to do it ourselves because it was so bad. So for all those out there, well, if you're going to wallpaper something, get the contractor and do it right instead of having marital strife for months.
All right. Hard won knowledge, Charles. Thank you for sharing that. Did you have a question, too? Or just a warning?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for your call, Charles. It's always good to get a little relationship advice in with your home improvement projects. Dave in Donaldson says, we have 1970s-era kitchen cabinets with fake wood grain facing. How can we paint these? What prep work is needed? Bill, you want to take a turn on that one?
Oh, well, you know, they do have, and maybe Lisa's better at this, but, you know, they have
if he's just talking of, is he talking, you think, refacing the actual cabinets or repainting what
he's
he
just
has
painting
already?
What he has is what I think. So that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, they, you know, it depends on what kind of surface the cabinets have right now. The best thing to do is take one of the doors off and go to your paint store so that then they can tell you what type of product so that it will bond to the paint that's there, because, you know, depending on the age, you know, it could possibly be even lead paint. So, you know, we don't know. So you want to take it there to find out what kind of bonding agent you need to put on the paint or the finish that's there so that the new finish will adhere. So
right, because a lot of those finishes are really slick. So that's a very hard surface to paint, right?
And that's what it is, because you may have to sand it. Well, in that case, if there's any lead in it, you know, you can't sand it. So that's why you want to take the door in and find out exactly what you want. Because the prep, here again, it's like everything else. The prep is a lot more important than what the finished product is going to be. And can I ask a question for Lisa?
Sure.
Great, okay. Thank you. Lisa, you know, what I run into problems with is, you know, now that we're all going or trying to go to all LED, is, you know, how much effect, you know, that color range is on the LEDs, which one to pick for the rooms, and how much it affects the colors that you choose. You know, you pick up one color and it looked great underneath some CFLs at a big box store, and you bring it home and, hey, that's not the color that I had. I mean, how important is that part, I guess, in choosing how you want to maybe redo your room?
Well, after speaking with a couple of electricians, the lighting in a room is a big part of what makes the color come out on the wall or cabinets or really anything. So when you choose the color of your light bulb, if you want a warmer environment, you're going to choose something that's a little bit softer. The one that's a cooler color is, I think it's called daylight, when you look on like a light bulb box or something. And that is going to make the color on your wall come out cooler, basically. So if you have white walls, it's going to make them have more of a kind of a bluish, grayish color that comes off, instead of if you do like a soft white. I think that will have a more yellowing effect on your wall. So it will make a difference on the color that you choose.
And Lisa,
did you have a color
in mind?
I'm sorry.
You go, Bill, and I'll do a follow-up next.
No, it's your show. I'm just, you know, I'm just sitting up here in Fort Dodge doing nothing.
Well, it's a lot harder to ask questions when nobody can see each other. Okay, Lisa, and then Bill.
No, I was just wondering if there's a specific color that you had in mind or a room or something.
Well, just like a living room, you know, just so everybody's in the room, you know, at night, it keeps them a little calmer since we're all together now. What kind of a color soothes people, keeps them calmer?
I personally like.
Hello. Yeah.
That's a big bill for a color, I gotta say.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Lisa.
Yeah. I personally like a nice blue soothing tone. Blues and greens are a little bit nicer. They're a little calmer. Anything that has orange or red is more energy energy driven. And so that can, you know, they say to put things like orange and red into kitchens or places that you want to be a little more lively, but maybe in a living room, something more calm like that. Or a really nice gray. I know that gray is everywhere and some people are very tired of gray, but it comes in many different shades, so you can find one that works.
Well, and you mentioned white, Lisa. Do you have a favorite kind of white? Because there are so many different shades.
I know. It is crazy how many different whites that there are. I do have a few favorites. I really appreciate an alabaster, which is, it's not a bright white. It has a little bit of a grayish tone in it. I also like what is called origami white. It's a little more linen-like, something that doesn't make you feel like you are in a museum, but it has a more calming effect. I like those.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jean is on the line in Solon. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I have a question. I have a 100-year-old house, and in the later 70s, we addressed the need for insulation by the newest thing on the market, drilling holes in the outside, putting in a foam that set up. Unfortunately, I'm sure it's improved more recently, but that stuff hardened and then shriveled and sank. And yeah, the insulation value is nothing at this point. So my question is how to address that, whether I can add more foam or whatever. The inside walls are plaster, and I really don't want to work from the inside of the house, just the outside.
Well, what kind of shape is the outside right now, like the siding in that? Is it something you may be changing down the road?
Well, we put vinyl siding over the original wood siding because the vinyl was the only thing that came in the narrow strips at that point in time to match what was originally there from 1912.
Sure. Okay. Well, you know, if you're going to do anything for insulation, you know, you would pull the vinyl off.
Right.
And the best thing to do now is either put sheets of foam on the outside, but then you'd have to, you know, build around your windows and such.
Mm-hmm.
Or use rock wool. There are a lot of building scientists are leaning more to rock wool rather than foam. But putting rock wool comes in sheets and high density boards as well. But if you put the foam over, that insulation then is continuous. So you really get some benefit out of it. Just filling in between the studs and trying to do your best in there usually doesn't help all that much because there's so much wood, there's so much spaces you can't get to. The only downside to this, though, is when you add depth to the wall, it actually, you know, makes the dimensions of the house different. So the corners, the original corners won't fit now. So you may have to try and maybe have an offsetting color of trim work on the corners and that. But, you know, what I would do is just, you know, get online and look up exterior insulation retrofits or adding exterior insulation to your home. And because a lot of people are just pulling off vinyl, it's very easy to take off. So it's, when it's nice out, it's got to be warm and take it off and put it back on. But that's the only way because, yeah, in the inside of the walls, that type of foam, I've seen it where half of it is gone. And so it's not doing you any good at all. You're right.
Really?
And if you're going to try to blow something in between the studs, have someone come in and blow cellulose in there and be sure that they use something like an infrared camera so they know they're getting the walls full, and there may be a lot of holes, a lot more holes than what there was before.
Okay, that sounds good, too.
Okay.
I also have a lead paint question. Bedroom was painted in the 70s again, and I think it's possible the underlying paint could be lead-based. The 1970s paint is starting to peel. What are my options there?
Well, you know, really, there's a lot of controversy over this right now coming back again. A lot of people will just, you know, this may be a case where you will try and remove some of that paint, but you cannot do any sanding. What they want you to do is encapsulate it, would be adding more paint. And so that's the trouble. Even if you try to scrape the paint that's on there now, there may be a problem with loosening the lead that's in the paint behind it, and that's the last thing you want to do is have any scrapings or dust. So there are some, here we go, there are some wallpaper types that you may want to go over the top of that to encapsulate. I can't believe that I'm saying this, but there may
be
such
circle,
that.
Bill, that's great.
I know. I think you guys have planned this,
yes.
But yeah, there are, you know, this is, but you can do that. What some people have done though, and is they've gone and put like say 3/8 drywall over the top of it, and then they would go ahead and finish drywall off and spray a texture on it, or put on new wallpaper if you choose. But do that to encapsulate the lead. There again, I would do a lot of research. This is a really good time, you know, to take your mind off it, to go ahead and do some, how do we encapsulate lead paint? And the Department of Health from the state of Iowa also has some information on that as well, as far as lead mitigation. The last thing you want to do though is do any sanding or scraping if the lead is behind it, and probably is, because it's probably from the early 60s.
Gene, thank you so much for your call, and do be careful with that. We're almost out of time. Kathleen in Cambridge has this suggestion. She says, I buy a tiny can of color and paint it onto a white poster board. Then I hang that poster board on the wall and observe the color at various times of day and with the lights on, with the sun shining, etc. And that made me wonder. That sounds like a great suggestion. Lisa, do you have any other suggestions quickly for trying to figure out exactly what paint really will look like on your wall?
That is probably the best suggestion, is just painting a piece of board or a piece of poster board or foam board, and then moving it around at different times. That way you do get the best idea. Also, you know, when your lights are turned on, like Bill was saying, with different light bulbs. And so that's a great suggestion.
All right. We also have this comment from Garrett in Blairsburg. We don't have time to take his call, but I want to pass this along. He has a comment on staying safe during this time. He runs a local lumber yard, and he says that the smart thing to do is to call up first and see what the protocol is at the store that you're going to, because it's important to respect how the yard works, and they all work differently. That's a great suggestion. And also, you know, I'm hearing both of you say, come up with plans, and then when this is over, you can hire some local contractors and get some things done. Maybe don't jump into it if you're not an experienced DIY person yourself. Bill, you think that's pretty good advice?
It is very good advice. And to go back to one of the other callers, you know, for marital strife, just take that little paint board with a section of paint, turn the lights off and say, hey, it looks great. See, so then everything is safe. You're okay. Oh boy, I tell you, that paint looks super.
You know what, Bill? I'd like you to, if we're going to talk about marital ideas from Bill McAnally, I'd like you to pass the phone over to Donna, okay? So I can get a little verification on all of your advice.
Haven't had a fight in 43 years. I just keep my mouth shut.
Oh, sure.
Right. Well, Lisa Fender, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you'll come back to the show again sometime. Thank you.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Bill. It was nice.
Lisa Fender, an interior decorator with Evolve Home Design in Iowa City. And Bill McAnally, thank you so much. And I can't wait to get back into the same studio with you sometime in the future.
Yep. Yes, me too. Thanks.
Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. We've got some great pictures from Lisa to share on our website later today, so you can see some of her ideas in action. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.